Welcome back to Respect the Dead, the podcast where we don't.
Sweaty, it's no surprise that everyone celebrated your demise, and now worms are eating your eyes. So don't you worry your rotting head as you sleep in your sodden bed. It's time to respect the dead.
Such a ditty. Such a ditty. Such a bop.
Such a ditty. Ditty is a good term for it. Ditty.
It is. A little ditty.
Welcome back to Respect the Dead. I'm Kellen Conrad.
I'm Ailey Mandy.
And I'm Hoots.
Hey, it's Editing Kaylin. Just coming in real quick to read a review from Kira Unnightly. I think that's a fake name. I know a lot about fake names, and I think that's one. They said, brilliant, 5 stars. They didn't say 5 stars, but they gave us 5 stars. Absolutely hilarious and well-researched too. Yeah, thank you. Always brightens my day when a new episode drops, even though the subject matter is pretty dark in places. That's true. Definitely recommend. Thank you, Kira. I recommend it too. I recommend it. And I think I'm the only one who knows who I did today.
Yeah, I have no idea.
You are. It's a mystery.
Yes, I love that. I love it.
Is it someone we're going to recognize?
Yeah, probably in the first like 6 words. So he's been called the Little Brown Saint, Man of the Year, the greatest man of our age, the father of the nation, and eventually the great soul, which translates to Mahatma. It's Mahatma fucking Gandhi.
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God. Oh, yes. Finally, this pervert.
I love whenever Kaylin doesn't tell us one because it always ends up being a fucking banger. Like, remember when they didn't tell us they were doing Mother Teresa and we lost our fucking minds?
Little fucking sicko.
I'm literally never going to tell you. You both always tell me, but I'm like, absolutely not. And nobody asks either. I always feel so sneaky. Everyone's like, I'm doing this person. And I just sit there quietly like...
I just want to make sure...
I always tell because I'm worried about... I think this is what Hoos is about to say. Like, I'm always worried someone else is going to do the one I'm going to do. So I'm always like, this is who I'm doing. Everyone cool with that? Okay.
That's happened on my old podcast where we like, as a practice, did not tell each other who we were doing. And it was 2 people per episode. So sometimes the episode would just be the 2 of us both deciding to do it together. But like very struggling to like match up our timelines and everything together. So it's just like a conversation about what we both learn. But yes, if all 3 of us did it, that would be, I just love the chance that we could potentially be doing the same person.
Okay, maybe I won't tell people anymore and then we can see if it happens like organically.
I will only do it if it's somebody who is like my next person is somebody who is already on our Google sheet that people suggested. So I was like, I want to make sure nobody else wants to call this.
Yeah.
Oh no, fair. I've called like some people after they talk.
Oh my God. I feel like I'm going to attack.
I have a couple.
Oh, no. There's like helicopters, like low flying above me right now. I can't hear them.
I love the idea that like we can't hear the helicopters outside of your apartment, but if there's a small child
Alan?
Anywhere near
I know.
You.
Fucking Alan.
Is Alan in the helicopter? Did he get his
Alan's
helicopter
like
license?
Flying a helicopter around your apartment right now.
Doing little circles and like just doing wild tricks, like doing flips and stuff. Can helicopters do flips? I don't know.
If they get shot.
I like Hoots goes to Take the window with her gun, shoots down the helicopter so we can record.
We are Americans.
I just assume that all of you have like a gun in your like nightstand.
Yeah, like a little shotgun under my pillow.
Yeah.
For shooting down children's helicopters.
Just like a cute little sawed off shotgun with like a pearl handle.
Yeah, very
the
cute.
The only guns I got are these ones.
Hey.
For our viewers at home, I'm showing my arm. It's not much of a gun. I'm just letting you all know.
Not you coming in as like current editing Mandy.
Current editing Mandy. Present Mandy.
It's not even your episode. Hi, editing Mandy here.
Present Mandy here. That'd be kind of funny if we did that on each other's episodes where you pop in like, hi, I just wanted to say that Kaylin's doing a great job. And then just
I like technically, I technically could because all the episodes come through me. Like if I really wanted to, I could. Yeah. Okay. Back to Gandhi.
Yeah. Let's get back to it. Sorry.
Okay. Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi was born October 2nd, 1869. And Wikipedia is so rude. They were like, he was born in a dark, windowless, ground floor room. And I'm like, why are you like so hateful about his house? Like, they really wanted to like, did they need to call it windowless and be like, oh yeah, and it was ground floor.
He was born into the dark. It was, he's like that.
He was shaped by the darkness. Like he was Batman born into the dark. He was Bane. Gandhi is Bane.
Maybe like he's that Batman. The thing. I don't watch superhero movies, but I do spend a lot of time online.
Meanwhile, I'm like, it's Bane. His name's Bane.
I do like Tom Hardy though, especially during his slutty early 2000s period.
Yeah. Oh, he's hot.
Is he the one that when asked if he's ever hooked up with a guy, he was like, I'm an actor. Of course I've had sex with men.
Yeah, he's. I think the exact quote is, I'm an actor. Of course I've had gay sex.
Okay, well, I stand.
Icon.
Okay. So as a child, Gandhi was described by his sister as restless as Mercury, either playing or roaming about. One of his favorite pastimes was twisting dog's ears.
Oh, well, that's nice.
I don't know if a dog's ear is like a fun, twistable plant, but I'm guessing
I don't know
not.
If that really counts as a pastime either. I mean, I guess it passes the time, but I mean, like, when I think of pastimes,
how often do you need to do
it? There at least has to be something of a game. It has to be like a hoop and a stick. Or like a baseball or something like that.
Like, yeah, is that the kind of thing you could put under like your hobby section on your resume? Yeah. Like, oh yeah, I like to do some swimming on the weekends. I go running. I also twist the ears of dogs.
I lightly torture animals.
Yeah.
For someone who is like known as like the world's like most famous vegetarian other than like fucking Hitler, it was really interesting to me to see that. So it's stated like literally everywhere. Everyone that talks about him is like, yeah, he was a loser, he was shy, he was meek, he was Mr. Mumbles, he was a little shit. Like everybody was like, as a child, this man like had no
game
charisma.
The making of an incel.
Oh yes, the OG incel. Or like Volcel.
Volcel.
I hate that I know that term. So he grew up financially pretty cozy. His father was in a high position in the Indian government. His mother was very religious, and her supposed devotion is apparently what helped him form his ethics surrounding like tolerance, nonviolence, animal rights. At 13, he was in an arranged marriage, and at 13, he was married to a 14-year-old girl. Recalling the day of the marriage, he said, as we didn't know much about marriage, for us it only meant wearing new clothes, eating sweets, and playing with relatives. Which I'm like, sounds like a good day, just in general.
Sounds like a day with your bestie.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, we got new clothes? There were sweets? Many years later, he described with regret the lustful feelings he felt for his bride. He said, even at school, I used to think of her, and the thought of nightfall and our subsequent meeting was ever haunting. But he was super fucking creepy about it. Like, whenever she would go visit a temple with her girlfriends, they said, which I'm like, I guess that's what you did back then. That was the mall. It was
like, hey, Stacey.
Like, hey, we're going to go hang out at the temple. And he was like super pissed off. He's like, why do you always have to go hang out with your friends? Like, what are you doing? Like, whoring around.
Again, an incel.
He didn't say those exact words, but like he did say he was jealous because like he was very like possessive.
Future Volcel, current incel.
He wasn't doing very well life-wise. He dropped out of college by 18, and it was like the only one he could afford. And his wife, her name was Kasturba, had just given Ba for short, which is like such a cute little name.
As someone who's a fan of like one syllable nicknames, I love Ba.
Yes, it's so good.
It's good.
So Ba had just given birth to their first son, but Gandhi was like, you know what? Maybe I want to go to school in London. And his mom's like, okay, but you just had like a baby and you have a wife and you don't have a job. So like, maybe you could, I don't know, make some money and support your family. And he was like, but maybe I don't. And instead, I go to London and leave my family behind. But he was like, listen, I'll make you a deal. I won't drink. I won't eat meat or have sex. And she was like, I don't understand how that, like,
yeah,
how that helps your husband, baby.
What about your child?
Okay, you know what? I am going to follow my dreams. But in exchange, I will also follow the whole 30 and lose a bunch of weight and get really shredded. And that will be my punishment.
I'll also do paleo.
Like, don't worry, mom. Everything's going to be okay. I'm going to come back a fucking twink.
I'm going to come back so fucking skinny.
I'm gonna be so fucking skinny for you, mommy.
And she's like, that's not what?
So skinny and celibate and sober. And she's like, or you could just be here for your kids.
You could be a father. You're literally a father. You are a dad.
Yeah, instead of being like a straight edge incel vegetarian, like maybe you could try being a fucking father. Mm-hmm. But he was like, anyways, that was just like me informing you I'm leaving. Goodbye. And because he did this, he was excommunicated from his caste, but he didn't care. He was like, goodbye. I'm going to this cool school called University College. And I'm like, I was reading this. I'm like, is that the actual name? I was like looking it up. I'm like, this sounds like what I would call a school if I was making a school for like a parody film.
For like a sketch or something.
I'm going to UC.
I'm going to school.
I'm going to middle school, high school, college, place in America, town. Thank you.
University College, London.
Going to College State University.
Kaylin almost just did a spit take. Where's the cat?
I looked over to make sure Angus wasn't here.
I saw that.
I saw you looking.
Poor Angus.
Poor Angus. Poor cat.
He's asleep, but he has like one eye open watching me.
As well he should.
Hold on, let me see if I can. No, it's too high up. Damn it. No. Okay, so he went to UCL, University College London, where he studied law and jurisprudence and was invited to enroll at Inner Temple with the intention of becoming a lawyer. When he was in London, he tried really hard to like adopt the customs of London, and he was kind of like a sicko for like the culture that was
Anglophile.
There. He very much wanted the like the status and the treatment of the people that he was around. And like, I mean, that makes sense. If you're treated like a piece of shit because you're a person of color, I can't
specifically from a nation that was like, colonized by the English.
Yes, exactly. But like, there was a lot about the culture he could not stand. Like, he always talked about how he was like, why is this vegetarian food my landlady making me so fucking bland? Mm-hmm. Like, this woman's cooking is
I'm
shit.
Surprised it wasn't full of chicken. So, like, that's the kind of nation. Until recently, now there's a lot of vegans there. But like, back then, they were probably like, oh, you don't eat meat. So then what? Goose?
Chicken, like, fish?
Yeah.
Goose?
I have a smaller chicken.
Yeah. Some Cornish hens.
Yeah, not like a full grown.
And what? How is a Cornish hen not vegetarian? Look how small it is.
It's barely an animal.
It barely has any meat.
It's smaller than a carrot.
Sorry, you just remind me of like Moira Rose when you said that. Like, it's smaller than a carrot.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. So eventually he found some restaurants to eat at and met some people, other vegetarians, and began joining in on like British vegetarian circles, joined the London Vegetarian Society.
Ooh.
And like became a board member. I don't know like what they did that they needed board members, but I imagine it was just a bunch of people sitting around. Like,
they were trying to find a spice other than salt. They were like, we're gonna.
They're like, we need to get people to understand that Cornish hen is not vegetarian. How do we do this?
We're gonna put a committee together to find chili powder.
The ad campaigns.
You wouldn't Cornish a hen, would you?
So at 22, he was called to the bar, which I learned means became a lawyer.
Yep.
And then left London to go back to India, where he learned that his mother had died while he was in London and his family had kept the news.
Oh, that
from
sucks.
I'm assuming, yeah, I know. What a piece of shit move, right? I'm assuming they thought he would like come back or something.
If my mom died and people kept that from me, I'd be really mad.
Oh, right?
I'd be like, all right, I'm taking my gloves off. Rings off, earrings out.
And we would.
Earrings out? It's like, have you ever been bitch slapped by a fucking 3-pound twink? They're gonna rock your world right now.
I've been doing the whole 30 in England, and I am so fucking shredded right now. I've got 3% body fat, and I'm fucking angry because I haven't tasted any spices other than black pepper for 4 years.
So things are not going well for him as a lawyer. Because remember how he was like a weak, mumbly, no confidence nerd?
Bad qualities for a lawyer, yeah.
Very much so. Like they said he was psychologically unable to cross-examine witnesses.
that's the job. That's the whole job is being able to, like, you have to do that.
He was like, wow, I'm really good at learning law. And then got into the courtroom and was like, did you kill him? And they're like, no. And he's like,
I just love like psychological. Logically, like pathologizing being bad at your job,
pathologically terrible.
Yeah. So yeah, things were not going well, which is why in 1893, when he was offered a job as a lawyer that required him to go to South Africa for at least 1 year, in air quotes, he was like, okay, bye babies, bye wife.
So did he spend any time with his child? Or
honestly, I've already forgotten about the wife until just now.
He's like, bye, ba. Like, see you in fucking hell. I'll be back in like a year-ish. But he did end up spending 21 years of his life in South Africa. I didn't look up the baby name. I remember seeing it.
That's okay. Neither did he. Not him on like Wikipedia. Not him on Wikipedia, like, what is Gandhi's baby's name?
What's my baby's name?
And my wife's name. And my mother's name.
I know
name.
She knows my mom, but I forgot the full name.
It's like, honestly, I've been calling her Ba for so long, and at this point, I don't think I can ask. It would be so embarrassing. I've been calling my baby kiddo, but like, I don't know. At some point, I think I'm going to have to sneak into the room and figure out where she keeps the birth certificate.
Hey, tiger.
Hey, you.
Hey, my little Cornish hen. I'm going to eat you. No, I'm not.
Because I'm vegetarian.
So things were also not great for him in South Africa when he went, because like colonized. And very, very horrible treatment of
brown people,
the black people that lived there, but also any other anybody people of color that decided to come in. So there were like footpaths he couldn't walk on. He couldn't go in certain buildings. He had to sit on the floor on buses.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah. That's gross. Floor?
Like literally sit on the floor in fucking buses.
So degrading.
And they did not.
That's awful.
They did not have fucking like proper cleaning on these buses. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, I'm sure not. Like buses today are still disgusting, but imagine back then, and then having to sit on the floor. Yeah. Like, ew.
I'm sure people were just like straight up pissing on the floor of that bus. Either like out of necessity or out of spite. If buses today are anything to go by. Right.
It's like, I'm just basing this on the buses.
Yeah, on current buses. I mean,
this is not like an assumption of like, oh, it must have been so crazy back then. It's just like, yeah, I've been on a bus before.
What I know about buses now, I can imagine that plus apartheid South Africa.
So his response to this treatment wasn't, wow, why are people of color treated this way? But why am I being treated the same as these fucking slurs?
Of course.
I literally went to school in merry old England, pip, pip, isn't it?
Oh, no.
And I deserve to be treated better.
Oh, no, buddy.
And his activism was born of that desire to see people like himself elevated above popular slur at the time for black people.
We love a class traitor. We absolutely love a class traitor.
Yikes.
Here's some quotes. And I'm just going to say bleep, but I'll probably add in an actual bleep for the episode. But I'm not going to say the actual slur. So anybody listening, don't cancel me for saying something I didn't say. Ours is one continual struggle against a degradation sought to be inflicted upon us by the European, who desire to degrade us to the level of the raw whose occupation is hunting and whose sole ambition is to collect a certain number of cattle to buy a wife with and then pass his life in indolence and nakedness. are, as a rule, uncivilized. The convicts, even more so. They are troublesome, very dirty, and live almost like animal. Anglo-Saxons and Indians are sprung from the same Aryan stock, or rather, the Indo-European peoples. He also wrote that white people, despite their flaws, should be the predominating race. Predominating? Yes. The predominating race in South Africa.
Oh, buddy, no.
I just
no,
like...
No.
Okay. Now it kind of makes sense to me why they would say, like, on the Wikipedia article or whatever, that he was born into a, like, windowless room on the bottom floor. Like, because it's striking to me that you could be born in what sounds like abject poverty and then think, like, oh,
his father was pretty wealthy.
I was like, how could you, like, come up?
He worked for the government.
Okay, never mind. This makes sense.
But that did come up, like, after... He was a bit older.
Because I just, like, I don't understand, like, how that could be the lesson you would learn out of poverty is, like, oh, but I deserve to be better. But no, like, no, all the other people who are down there in the mud with me don't deserve to be brought up with me.
All the Indians, he believed that Indians
just not black
deserved
people.
To be raised up.
Just didn't see any kind of parallels with black people.
Just not black people. It wasn't about class at all. It was only about his racism towards, like, specifically Africans. There was no real class connotations because he did fight for lower class and, like, the incredibly poor and destitute. Unless
they were black.
Not, like, unless they were black, but he just didn't. He was so offended. I've read so many of these quotes, and they're all so disgusting. I had to pick. But his problem is he doesn't want to be lowered to the state of a black person, but he does believe that whites should be higher than him.
So, yeah.
Not necessarily in charge of India. He was against the British occupation, but he still was like, okay, I get how we're not, like, as high up as the whites, but come on.
Yeah.
Blacks.
But at least we're better than, like, black people. That's fucked up. And it has
so
a very, like... It has a little bit of the pick me kind of thing of being like, well, I'm one of the good races. We're the good races. Indians, we're great. We're not as good as white people, but, like, we're still really good. So, like, don't look at us at, like, these other races, specifically black people. That's fucked up.
Ugh. His entire politics surrounding race was, like, fucking nasty.
Still very much a caste.
So did he hire the same PR person that Mother Teresa had?
Basically,
we have this idea of him being this, like, humble old...
Because white people told the story of what these people did in India and in Africa, and, like, the story was told by the colonizers that these people worked with, for, and, like, in, like, tandem with, but also, like, furthering their goals with a, like, veneer of, like, social justice around it. Like, the savior models. But, like, he was treated really fucking horribly there. And I don't want to, like, skim over that. Like, I'm not.
Mm-hmm. No, I believe, like, that. Yeah.
It's very difficult to put yourself in the position that he was in, like, not that justifies or anything, but I think it explains a bit, because I think a lot of people feel the need to not feel like the lowest of the low, and, like, finding someone else that you can, like, put yourself over, like, somebody to throw under the bus, like the LGBTs without the T's, and the polyamorous people who are like, well, at least I'm not like a fucking whore.
it has this very, elevating yourself by putting other people down and kind of doing the thing of, like, well, yeah, I'm a queer person, but at least I'm not a trans person.
Yeah,
and then I
exactly.
can make myself, in theory, I'm making myself more respectable.
At least I believe in two genders.
I still believe in two genders, and I don't want to be associated with those other people. And never mind that.
You're Blair White.
Yeah.
You're Angel Bucks.
You're Angel Bucks.
So, yeah. When this was happening, when he was petitioning to remove the rights of that African, like, black Africans currently had, he at the same time was being like kicked out of trains, beaten up for not making room for white passengers, barred from staying at hotels that he had money to pay for. So he was like, I want to make a difference here. So what I'm going to do is like petition the colonial government to ensure that Indian people don't have to share the same lineups as Black people, because Black people have diseases. That somehow got him known as an activist, and people started listening to him and what he had to say and following him. And he was mixing that in with like legitimate activism, like fighting against colonialism in other ways, but like not in actuality, like not completely. And that wasn't like a hard line for him, clearly. But one of his main thing, and I think the thing he's most known for, is like his nonviolence.
Yeah.
Like he wants to fight back against oppression, but due to his beliefs, that fight has to remain peaceful. One of his famous lines is, every revolution begins with a single act of defiance.
Did he ever defy anybody?
Yes.
Okay.
He did a shit ton of civil disobedience. Yeah.
Okay.
Which almost had him lynched by a mob of racist white fucks. Like he actually did. That's the thing. He did a lot of activism, but it was couched in this like serious anti-Black racism.
Yeah.
When he left South Africa for several years and decided to go back to India, a statesman announced, the saint has left our shores, I hope forever. Which, like, he was like, bye, bitch, do not fucking come back. And back in India, Gandhi carried on his mission, but now he was more focused on, like, Indian nationalism, as opposed to allowing... like colonial rule. And he, back in India, he was beaten up. He was sent to jail. He was attacked, harassed, like completely, like horribly violated in like every like possible religious way, but still continued to be like, peace is the only option. That is the only thing that's going to work. We cannot like fight back against them. Any form of violence and you are like just as bad as they are. And in, I think it was 1922, he was arrested like for the first, not for the first time, but he was arrested and then put behind bars for an extended period. It's not like a couple days for blocking a bus or whatever the fuck. Like he was there for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And when he was in prison, that's when he did his like infamous fast, his like hunger strike, which like honestly was not very impressive because like his actual diet was like nuts, grains, fruits, and vegetables, but only in super small quantities.
So it wasn't a fast, it was a diet.
So, no. Okay. So he did go on a fast, but from like his like handful of nuts a day, which I'm like, honestly, if you had been eating like a pizza every night, like me, and then decided to go on a fast, I would be so much more impressed.
Okay. I thought you were saying his fast was eating some nuts and grains and like, I'm going to go on a fast, but I'm just going to eat whole grains, fruits, vegetables, almond milk, and like once a week.
One to know a night.
I'm totally on a diet, but I'm just going to eat exactly the same way I have been.
Yeah.
But I'll feel sadder about it.
Yeah.
Hey.
But people saw him on this hunger strike and they were like, wow, this man would totes die for us. We stan. And he started to get his little following. The following? So fucked up. Everything about this, so fucked up. Like more fucked up than Mother Teresa's.
I really want to know what Ba thinks.
Ba is also forced to be like poor and hungry. Obstinate? Abstinent. No.
Abstinent. Obstinately abstinent.
She's like, I don't like this.
She was forced to like live by his fucking rules, but he's gone.
He's just not.
He just like leaves her there. He goes home occasionally, gets her pregnant again, leaves again. I'm like, this man is not healthy. His teeth are falling out.
His dick still works.
He has not had any calcium in 100 years because he's eating nuts and grains and not very much of them. So his doctors had to convince him to drink milk, but only goat's milk because he would not drink a cow's milk. So he traveled around with a goat.
Just sucking on its tit.
To make sure the milk was fresh.
Just like...
And making his little entourage.
I'm imagining like a little straw that he pokes into the side of the goat. like a little Capri Sun.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, for a second, Hoots, I thought you said, not for a second, until you made the sucking a tit motion on camera, I thought no. You said stepped on its
tit. Sucking on its tit.
Like this poor fucking
just
girl.
Like, every other step, like,
just like using it like a soda fountain. Just like.
just shakes it up when he wants a milkshake.
Sticking his head under there.
Yeah, so he was paranoid that they would, his entourage would like just get him cow's milk because they were like,
just you know, don't tell him, just don't fucking tell him.
We're not
going
to find this man a goat every time he's thirsty. Just don't tell him, okay? It's going to be fine. He's not going to be able to tell
the difference. That goat is a cow that we just put some like
he's never even seen a fucking goat
wearing
a suit.
Some horns.
He doesn't even know what a goat looks
like. Some
like
branches on his forehead.
He literally like he cut his teeth in fucking Britain. He's never seen a fucking goat.
So like the goat traveled around. But one of the reasons for all these dietary restrictions was not actually a concern for animal welfare.
Well, no, he grew up playing with fucking dog's ears. He was like, this is my this is my version of playing solitaire, whatever. Like just twisting a dog's ears.
So he thought these restrictions would curb his sex drive.
Yeah, he was a horny little freak, wasn't he? He was a little pervert.
He was a horny little freak, and he was also a, like, no-fapper. He was the OG
yes,
no-fap.
Yes, I remember this. I remember this specifically about him. I know very little about him, but I know about this.
He was like, if you lose your delicious sacred cummies, you lose your power.
The sacred cummies?
And he used to get so mad because he would have wet dreams and then wake up and be like,
My cummies!
Power, my delicious, gorgeous, sacred cummies! Like, bah, we need you to clean the sheets.
Sit on the sheets for a few minutes.
Again.
I don't want to waste this.
We're going to make a fucking baby out of it. Bring it out.
I totally respect if there are people who don't masturbate, don't want to do it, aren't interested. That's totally cool. You're valid. We love you. I masturbate all the fucking time. I don't get it. And I don't think of anything coming out of my body as sacred. Definitely not sacred cummies that I must like store up and make sure they don't get my precious feminine power doesn't leak out of between my fucking legs. Like, what the fuck? It's so weird. I don't get it. I know it's more for men. It's not for women anyway, but
yeah.
Nothing in or from my body is sacred. Yes. Like,
I love like modern no-fap guys because they literally say that like if you don't come, you'll reabsorb your own semen and it will make you powerful. And honestly, like sounds gay, bro. You want to reabsorb cum?
Oh, why do you want to absorb semen?
You just want to hoover up all that semen.
It just sounds like they're taking their semen and just like doing a little like a little lotion, a little moisturizing, and that's fine.
I mean,
if you
there's
want
a lot of protein
like,
in there.
I'm not judging. A lot of protein.
Yeah, they don't call it facial for nothing.
Yeah, that's why my skin looks so good.
Like Elizabeth Cumthery.
I was about to say, Mandy, you're looking very tight. You're, you know. You've got a glow.
Thank you. Thank you. I collect men's cummies and soak in it in my big tub
every time.
I wish I hadn't said cummies on this podcast because it's never going to go away. I can already tell this is going to be one of those
like,
things.
I'm imagining Mandy is like this like witch from folklore who every time you have a wet dream, she appears in the middle of the night and wrings out your sheets to stay forever young.
Not Mandy the cum witch.
I love it.
The
Mandy
cum witch.
The cum witch.
The cum witch of Maine.
God, my parents are going to listen to this.
Oh no, the cum she.
Hi, present Mandy here. I apologize to Mama and Papa Hootman.
Future editing, Kaylin.
I love you both so much. Please still adopt me.
We're getting farther from God.
Every time we've said cummies, I just imagine a gummy bear, but it's white.
Speaking of cummy bears, here's a message from some sponsors, maybe.
We're back from the ads, my little cummies.
My little cummies.
I hope they were for something wonderful.
Sure was. Thank you, sponsors.
So capitalism. We're back from the ads, and we're in World War II.
Ooh, World War II.
One of my favorite wars.
And the citizens of India
One of my favorite World Wars. Definitely in my top five.
not this BuzzFeed article, my top fave World Wars. And it's still five pages, it's a but quiz, there's only, actually. It only talks about World War II.
It's a quiz. It's which World War are you?
Which World War are you? Do you identify more with this one? And it's like a picture of mustard gas. Or this one, a picture of Nazis.
Just a picture of mustard gas. It's just like a little picture, poof cloud.
Confusingly, like one of the last questions is like, what is your favorite K-pop band?
It also needs to say like which side you fought for.
What is your nationality? German?
Okay, this reminds me of German, and it's you hit that one and there's only one question for you. All the other questions get grayed out. This happened to me once on AOL Canada in my early years when I AOL searched "Am I gay?" and there was a quiz, and it was like there was supposed to be 20 questions, and there was a picture of Brad Pitt and a picture of Angelina Jolie, and it said, "Who are you more attracted to?" And I said Brad Pitt, and he was like, "You're gay."
There it is. There it is.
It did not let me do any of the other questions. It was just like, yeah, no.
You got it.
I'm just imagining.
We figured it out.
I'm just imagining me as a bisexual looking at those pictures going,
Oh my God, it's Mandy's choice.
Don't make me choose. Okay. I hate choosing.
I know we're having a lot of fun.
Sorry.
Back in World War II.
We got to talk about the war. That's right. We got distracted by BuzzFeed quizzes. Anyway.
The British expect the Indian citizens to fight for them. And the Indian National Congress is like, okay, well, if we're going to do that, we want self-government.
Fair. Very fair.
Yeah. Which they did. Mm-hmm. They did achieve eventually. But close to 90,000 of them would die, not to mention the like 2.5 million-ish total Indian casualties of war. Gandhi, of course, had something to say about this war, being a proponent of nonviolence in every circumstance and every situation. Mm. And he said as much in a letter he wrote to Adolf fucking Hitler.
I mean, they were both Aryans.
On July 23rd, 1939, addressed to Herr Hitler.
Herr Hitler.
He wrote, "Dear friend."
Love it already. Great no start. Notes.
Great. 10 out of 10. Keep going.
"Friends have been urging me to write to you for the sake of humanity, but I have resisted their request because of the feeling that any letter from me would be an impertinence. Something tells me that I must not calculate and that I must make my appeal for whatever it may be worth. It is quite clear that you are today the one person in the world who can prevent a war which may reduce humanity to the savage state. Must you pay that price for an object, however worthy it may appear to you to be? Will you listen to the appeal of one who has deliberately shunned the method of war, not without considerable success? Anyway, I anticipate your forgiveness if I had erred in writing to you. I remain your sincere friend."
Okay, I'm sorry. He literally just did, "Dear Mr. Putin, I'm sorry I wasn't your mother." Like, that's literally what that is.
Yeah, you're so fucking spot on.
You have the power in your hands to stop this world war.
If Gandhi was alive today, he definitely would have sang Imagine at all of us during the pandemic.
Oh, God. You're absolutely right.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. I also love the very, like, apologetic tone the entire letter has. It's like, sorry to bother you, but if you could not genocide
people. He's very deferential.
You know, I know that you're busy, but if you could stop genociding people, that would be nice. Also, I don't believe in punching Nazis, just so you know. Anyway, bye!
He's so like, oh, hey. And the fact that he said anyway at the end was very, like text you... like you're talking to a new friend and you're like asking them for like sort of a favor, but you like need to couch it in like 100 apologies and be like, oh, well, it's okay if you can't. It's like totally fine. Anyway, like I probably shouldn't have asked you anyways. And I'm probably going to regret this. But anyways, my friend, it's like you're talking to Hitler.
Me asking anyone to do lines for a video is always like, hey, if you want to, you don't have to. If you want to stop genociding people, maybe it's okay if you know. Like, you can change your mind.
It literally is like asking a friend to do like not a friend, but like a friend you haven't
an acquaintance.
Yeah, a friend you haven't spoken to in a long while, but you're like,
you need help moving
their truck, and I haven't actually spoken to. So you're like, hey, what's going on in your world? I want to know. Also,
by the way, how's that truck of yours running?
Anyway, I hope you're so good.
I remember it being so good at moving boxes.
Like you're trying to make sure they know you're not an MLM.
I had MLM email, Facebook messages start that way, though.
Oh, really?
Like, hey, girl. You look like you're doing so well. Yeah.
Wow.
I love the addition of the swastika. I feel very represented by that.
I love an armband moment me, but like not those.
Yeah. You know, armbands and Hugo Boss suits are the Nazis really took those from us.
They took this from you.
Yeah, look what they took from us. You can't even wear a brown Hugo Boss suit without looking like a fucking freak these days.
You just can't.
Literally, I feel like every single time we record, I like my life doesn't flash before my eyes, but my afterlife does, and heaven is just getting like farther and farther away from me. It's just like a distant pinprick in the sky now.
It's like when you're running a marathon and you can see, like, maybe you have like an app on your phone that tells you how many more miles to go, and if for you it's just adding miles every time.
Not you talking to me like running a marathon is like
a relatable thing,
a like universal thing that people understand. Like, what the fuck is that?
Well, I know Hoots is
run when I'm being chased and at no other time.
Well, for our listeners at home who maybe are running marathons while they listen to us, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that treadmill is running backwards.
That sounds unsafe.
You're like, how did I run negative 73 miles?
Possible.
Oh my God. Okay, here's another quote for you. This is Gandhi, of course. Hitler killed 5 million Jews. It is the greatest crime of our time. But.
I love this.
But the Jews should have offered themselves to the butcher's knife. They should have thrown themselves into the sea from cliffs. It would have aroused the world and the people of Germany. As it is, they succumbed anyway in their millions.
Wait, so Gandhi's response to all this was like, well, maybe they should just kill themselves instead?
Yep.
Fuck you. That is fucked up.
Yeah. They should have thrown themselves into the sea from cliffs.
Why?
Why? Where in this quote do you explain
how that would have helped?
He was like, you were going to die anyways. And it's like, but not all of them. How many people would have done that, would have died, and like that would have eventually survived?
Because like the
like a lot of people died, like an insane number of people died.
Yeah.
But a lot of people also didn't die.
There's two major problems I have. I mean, there's a lot of problems I have with that fucking quote. But two things that immediately come to mind, right? It's first of all, there's so many more. Number one, that's like a huge fuck you to every single person who did fight the Nazis.
Right.
Like all of the badass, amazing fighters who did resist and did save lives, the literal resistance that saved lives.
Yeah.
Number two, like there were people who were taken to concentration camps and murdered who had no idea what was going on. Literally had no idea.
Yeah.
They were taken to these camps under false pretenses, told like, oh, we're going to take you over here for a while. Eventually you'll probably come back. We're just going to like log your inventory. It'll be totally fine. Walked into those showers and never came out again and had no idea. So, like, that's an extra giant fuck you to say that and be like, oh, well, they should have just, like, killed themselves anyway. Like, they didn't know they were going to die. Not all of them. Like, some of them did, obviously. But, like, it just doesn't make any fucking sense.
I think it's...
No, it wouldn't have done anything. It wouldn't have accomplished anything. And it couldn't have happened.
Did he think that, like, as a campaigner for Indian nationalism, did he think that that's what he was doing? Because I will say, like, you said he was born in 1869, right?
Yeah.
And in the 1870s, so, like, when he was a kid, very famously, there was a manufactured famine in India, manufactured by mm-hmm. the British Empire, that killed, like, almost 10 million Indians. So, like, a literal Holocaust happened in India mm-hmm. when he was a child. Does he think that what he was doing was throwing himself off of a cliff, or does he, in the way that he did with Black people, does he hold himself to a separate standard to Jews?
Oh, I'm sure it's a separate standard.
I don't understand what he was saying. Like, what was he saying?
But the way that I was looking at it, and the way the vibes that I got from reading about him, was that this was actually about nonviolence, but he was just an annoying little
prat. Did he think that Jewish people were resisting violently? Because, like Mandy said, most of them didn't even know that they were, like, on their way to die.
No, right. He wants you to lay down in the face of violence and, like, submit. Okay, like, to the point, this is like a vegan who will say that if you would starve without access to, like, meat products, then you should just die, because, like, that is the right thing to do, is to not take another life, to, like, support your own. He was very idealistic in ways that he didn't actually follow, but that he preached a lot of, which we'll get to later, is, like, his fucking the way that he did not follow any of his own teachings.
I still kind of don't understand, like, his criticism, though. Like, because, like,
it doesn't make any sense. I think it's supposed to,
like,
be
gibberish. I can
gibberish.
Explain where he came from, but it's literally fucking stupid.
And a lot of the people he's criticizing for dying, like, literally did just die. And he's like, the world would, if they'd thrown themselves off of the cliffs, the world would have, like, been shocked. And it's like, well, instead, they got sent to camps, and the world was shocked. Like,
yeah.
And also, how long did it take before we actually did fucking do anything, even with the camps? So, like, this presupposes a world where people would have saw, like, mass suicide and been like, oh, we have to stop it. And we don't know that would have happened, because it took so long for Americans,
people from killing themselves.
Right. Like, how do you stop that? And then
that's, like, actually worse.
It's disgusting on so many levels. And I think about things like how many children died, like, mm-hmm. they were supposed to throw themselves off of cliffs, like, literal babies. Like, fuck you. I hate this quote. I had never heard this quote.
I literally hate this man so much.
I don't think he cares about babies. He left Ba and her babies.
I mean, he was like, fuck them kids.
So anyways, Nazis are bombing England, and Gandhi's like, you know what? Fighting back, not the way. I would like you to lay down the arms you have as being useless for saving your humanity. You will invite Herr Hitler and Signor Mussolini to take what they want of the countries you call your possessions.
Oh, my God.
If these gentlemen choose to occupy your homes, you will vacate them.
What a little fucking cuck.
If they do not give you free passage out, you will allow yourselves, man, woman, and child, to be slaughtered. But you will refuse to owe allegiance to them.
Yeah, that'll teach them.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I will do none of those things.
Yeah, no.
You stupid little
I
shit.
I like my apartment. Get the fuck out of here. Like, what?
Like, this is the kind of person that you, like, pick up and throw in a pool.
Yeah, this is where you're like, shut the fuck up.
Mid-speech. They're going like, I would just roll over and let the Hitlers come and take my house. And you just throw them in the pool and be like, fucking shut up, nerd. Yeah. Like, nobody cares.
Yeah, we know you would.
Like, that's why we hate you, though.
Who invited Gandhi? Every time he shows up, this happens.
He's always talking about how the Jews should have thrown themselves into the sea, and he just never shuts up. He gets one drink in him, and it's all...
Then throw yourself in the pool. It's right there, Gandhi. Just jump right in there and just breathe in.
Mahatma? More like Mahatma, shut the fuck up.
Oh my God.
Gandhi, more like, God damn, this guy sucks.
Gandhi, more like, Gandhi, shut the fuck up.
Nobody went with Gandhi. Gandhi,
I was right there. Damn it.
Gandhi, more like, Gandhi.
Gandhi. That's so good. That should also be on a shirt. Gun deem or like gun don't.
More like gun don't.
Gun stop it.
Also, I love the fact that who it's called.
More like gun be quiet.
He is such a cuck. Like, I'm sorry. I don't mean to like, appropriate right wing jargon, but like legitimately a cuck. Like he's like, you should let them come into your house, fuck your wife, kill your countrymen, eat all your food and shit on your floor. And it's like, why? No, I would rather
and then
not
say thank you, sir. May I have another at the end of it?
This is where I become like fucking Castle Doctrine Hoot, and I'm like, not me and my shotgun. Get the fuck out of my house,
present Mandy here. We do find cucks to be valid and wonderful human beings, and we enjoy you very much, and you're wonderful. But fuck this guy. We're talking about the bad kind.
I love a good cuckold. Yeah.
Who doesn't? Just keep it in the privacy of your own home. Like, don't do it to my country.
Yeah, don't do it to my country. I take it too far.
Okay, so we are leaving World War II now. And we're just gonna, the rest of it is just getting into some of his other views, his interesting his views, his opinions, his ideas,
his thoughts,
some of his practices, his even some of his feelings, and some of his thoughts about Ba as well.
Don't you mess with my queen.
Protect Ba at all costs.
That's the reason they would invite Gandhi to parties, is they were hoping Ba would show up, but then this fucking guy.
Ba was dope.
I do not. Dope. There was not a lot of information about her. Usually I feel like she was left at home alone a lot. Gandhi once wrote to his son that a person who marries in order to satisfy his carnal desire is lower than even the beast, which is why he became celibate. Partly, but also because his father was dying and he was like, please, son, come to me. And Gandhi was like, I'm just gonna have a go have a, like a super quick fuck and then I'll come back and I'm assuming you'll still be alive. But he wasn't. So he was like, oh, okay, so fucking is bad actually. And it's like, or you could have just like
waited. Yeah. God, it's all or nothing with these people.
Also,
thought leaders are like, you fuck one time and suddenly everything in your life goes wrong. And it's like, yeah, you were fucking while your dad was dying.
You like walked out of the hospital. They were like, sir, we think only has like 5 minutes. And he's like sending a dick pic to some like random chick.
You was like, okay. Like made you up text. And the doctor's trying to talk to him. And he's like, what? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. 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 I need to just run out for a real quick reason that I have.
Also, is this like, so is the logic here also a little bit like, oh wow, my cum blasted out of my body so powerfully I killed my dad? Is that how that works?
Mm-hmm. Oh no, I'm so sorry, daddy, I killed you with my cum.
Cummy shot straight to the brain.
I'm so sorry, daddy. I really needed to work daddy into this because I said it in the daddy group chat earlier. Like, I'm so sorry, daddy.
Oh my god, daddy. Did my cummies shoot you down?
Daddy, I killed you with my cummies.
Oh, I cummied your soul straight to heaven.
Oh, no.
Daddy, ride my cummies all the way to heaven to the pearly gates.
The pearly gates. Oh, hey.
Bear suit's waiting for him.
Come in my bear.
Okay.
Sorry.
He once said that if people have too much sex, they will become soft brained.
I think that's funny.
Unhinged. In fact, mental and moral wrecks. Which, like, check.
Like, wait, soft brain? Yeah, okay.
Soft brain. Unhinged. In fact, mental and moral wrecks. Ready for
he ain't wrong. He ain't wrong.
A mental and moral wreck. Soft brain.
Took us right down to the fucking library and read us like a fucking book.
I can't argue with that. I can't.
Wow.
Oh my god. I mean, he got me. Yeah. And that's fine. I can admit. I can take this out. Okay, now it's gross.
Hey, editing Kaylin here. This is a content warning. Things are about to get nasty. Not super explicit, but It gets very pervy. Very pervy indeed. So yeah, maybe skip the rest of this episode if you don't want to hear about that, because we will be talking about his perviness going forward.
Okay, so throughout most of his life, he had like an entourage, his adult life. But eventually that entourage became lots of very young girls.
I know about this part. I remember this part.
Yeah. One of his first, and they call her his companion in the article I was reading. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Nope.
Her name was Sushila Nayar. And she was 6 years old when her mother brought her to him. There with her on his lap, he asked her mother to gift her to him. She said yes, but she took her home and raised her and sent her back as a young teenager to become Gandhi's close companion. You can't see it, listeners, but there was some very sarcastic quotes. He often kept girls in pairs as his daily companions to address his needs down to like a basic movement. Like sometimes they would have to literally like help him walk, and he called them his walking sticks.
It's fucking weird.
Excuse me?
It's fucking weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Like literally the weirdest fucking shit he could possibly do. He like... You know, like when people like dance, those like in movies when somebody like dances on their father's feet and he like moves for them. Like, I feel like they were literally like physically helping him walk, because the like homeboy was eating like 3 almonds a day or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. I can't imagine he was.
Yeah. He was disgusting and decrepit and like nasty. Ew. Like he was not.
I bet he smelled like battery acid too.
Oh, absolutely. You
know, like when people have been starving for a bit and they smell like nail polish remover.
Speaking of his horrible diet, he was perpetually constipated.
Really? Those almonds weren't keeping him regular?
Like almonds and like prunes or whatever the fuck you would expect to be like doing a little something. But I think the fact that he didn't really eat had something to do with that.
That and the opioid addiction.
So he was super constipated and would spend hours at a time in the bathroom, but the girls had to come into the bathroom and entertain him and occupy him.
Can you imagine, like, come in here, like, do like a little skit for me or something. I'm taking a shit. Like,
not a skit.
Just,
I haven't seen the newest.
Like, didn't have like the back of a shampoo bottle to read or something.
The Dr. Bronner's.
Hey, I haven't watched the newest season of Friends. Could you all just like reenact that for me right now while I'm sitting here on the toilet? Thanks.
So we also took baths with them and routinely started the day by asking them if they'd had a good bowel movement.
That's fucking weird. I mean, like if that's what you're into, fine. But like, don't do it with 14-year-olds. Don't ask a 14-year-old.
Yeah. Well, the reason why he was asking is because he was giving them enemas.
Okay.
And himself enemas together, often 2 times a day.
I don't think that's healthy.
No, it's not. It's very much not.
No, it's not. I've read Reddit threads because I'm like, am I supposed to do this? And they're like, yes, but it's bad for you. And I'm like, but am I supposed to? And they're like, oh, yeah, of course. In addition to the enemas and the bathing and the walking stickery, he tasked them with giving him massages while he was in the nude with mustard oil and lime juice.
What?
Like, I guess just basting this fucker.
God, that had to sting.
Did they wrap him in tin foil and then put him on a slow roast for 6 hours? Like, what the fuck? That's so weird.
He was a real freak. He was a real sicko. Everything he did was like, this is bonkers cult shit. And the fact that people don't talk about the culty aspect of it. They're like, he was a perv and a creep, but like the cult thing really stood out to me, because this is literal grooming.
Literal grooming.
Creepy.
I know we can't like use that word anymore because right-wing people have like made it like unusable. So he also forbade men and women, even married ones, from sleeping together while at his ashrams, even though he had many women, some of them teenagers, some of them married, sleep nude in his bed. But this is the thing. Nobody claims that he assaulted them while they were in the bed.
The version of this that I heard is that he would like make them sleep nude in the bed with them to like test himself, which is so fucked up.
To make himself pure.
I mean, it's also fucked up if he assaulted them, but it's absolutely. Like so incredibly fucked up. Let me violate you to test my own purity.
Yeah. It's a very much a using women as almost like a more of a tool, like calling them walking sticks and then saying, I will use you to test my purity. Yeah. And if I come out the other side, look how good I am.
Yeah.
I held on to my cummies. Aren't you proud of me? Like,
it's literally it's objectifying in like the purest sense of the word.
It really is. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And he was 77 at the time. He brought his grandniece into his bed after casting, remember Sushila Nayar? Yeah. Who was gifted to him as a kid. She was 33 when he kicked her out.
Because he's a pedophile.
In favor of Menu, his grandniece. Exactly. Yeah. He explicitly stated that sleeping with her in the nude and yet resisting his sexual temptations was his most important experiment in chastity. So basically, like, me not having sex with my grandniece is like my most, my most difficult test as a 77-year-old
fucking man. For me to not fuck my grandniece, and everyone should be so impressed that I didn't. Like, fuck you.
I don't know. Sounds fucking weird, dude. Jesus. I don't. It's not that hard to me.
He was so proud of
so
it.
So easy.
And his team was like, can we stop talking about this?
Bad look, bestie.
Like, it's very like clearly stated that people were like, people were like, girl, you're gonna get canceled if you keep going.
Pacifism part again. Let's get back to that part.
Yeah, and he was speaking about this sleeping arrangement in public, and his entire inner circle was like, number one, stop telling people you do this. Number two, stop doing this. And they convinced him that he had to stop.
I love that he was like here tweeting like, I did not come on my niece. I did not come anywhere near my niece. There was never any come on my niece.
No, or not like 1900s fucking Shane Dawson. So in describing his philosophy of celibacy, he stated that he strove to be one who never has any lustful intention, who, by constant attendance upon God, has become proof against conscious or unconscious. He's trying to say that he beat
never
the night.
Never trust a vole cell.
One who conserves his vital fluid acquires unfailing power.
There it is. There it is. Reabsorbing your cummies for all the power.
Unfailing power. His vital fluid.
Precious bodily fluids.
Ew.
Okay. He also said that the avoidance of ejaculation was essential in helping India reach independence. Like, he was like, I didn't shed my cummies. I didn't let my cummies out. And
that's why you're free.
I basically saved this country. So you all
you're
fucking
welcome.
Owe me. You owe me and my cummies.
I'm blue ballsing my way to freedom. What a goddamn
I'm a serious
hero.
Medical
You see this fucking stomach? It's empty. You see these balls? They're blue.
Oh, hey, it's me, your old pal Kalen, who gets nosebleeds every time I walk by a crucifix. When you ask why, I act real sketchy about it. This is just... We're just having a little break from the laughs because things are about to get dark again, and I didn't want to go right from blue balls to talking about weird sexual assaulty things. Yeah. I hope you feel refreshed and rejuvenated by this little intermission.
Although the husbands and the wives weren't allowed to sleep together in the same bed at his ashrams, the boys and girls were under his supervision.
Because he's a pedophile. Nope.
First, they would bathe together. Here is a quote. I sent the boys, reputed to be mischievous, and the innocent young girls to bathe
I don't
at
like
the
same
innocent
time. Young girls, quote.
Gandhi said.
No, I don't like that.
I don't like that descriptor.
Then they would sleep beds very close together, with Gandhi often there himself to act as a watcher. If any of the boys or girls succumbed to temptation, they were punished. Although the boys weren't punished as harshly as the girls were, who would have their hair chopped off.
Oh my God.
And I would like to say, if it isn't perfectly clear, that there is absolutely no way that if this one of these girls was sexually assaulted, which seems like it was his fucking plan, they would obviously be punished as if they had given in to some sort of desire. Yeah. Like getting sexually assaulted for him was you get your hair cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, I think I have a quote somewhere, but he has basically said, like, if you don't want to get assaulted, you should cut your hair off. And if you do get assaulted, like, we should cut your hair off so it doesn't happen again. And had literally done that.
All right.
To
well,
people.
And first of all, you're bald.
First of all, you're a bald fucking bitch. Number one.
I am one.
I am one. I don't let bald fucking vole cells tell me what to do. Number two, you don't get to have an opinion about my fucking hair. Number three, you smell like batteries dipped in nail polish remover.
I think too, it's very telling that that quote includes that he would pair the quote innocent young girls with quote known mischievous boys. So to me, that says very much that he knew that these were boys who couldn't necessarily be trusted. And what I don't know what mischievous means in this case. Maybe it just means like poking turtles with a stick or something. Maybe
it means,
I don't think it does. But it probably means something worse. And so you were very purposely endangering girls. You were literally endangering girls and then punishing them if they were then assaulted.
He's like, I want to create a situation where assault is likely, and then I'm going to stay in the room and watch.
Yeah.
Because I'm a pedophile.
And then I'm going to punish.
I'm a voyeur. It's so fucking creepy and irresponsible and just plain wrong. It's horrible. It's grooming. Like, it's literally a form of grooming.
Everything he did about it.
And that's just disgusting. That's so disgusting on so many levels.
Oh, and like it wasn't even just about stuff like this. Yeah. Like, he was a complete fucking misogynist.
That was the one thing I did know.
Mr. Nonviolence is totally okay with sexual violence.
Of course. Well, he's not okay with it.
I mean, you're punished for it, but he wants to see it.
But he sets up the situation so that it happens. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Fuck you.
Yeah. Here's a quote, speaking of misogyny, about Ba. I simply cannot bear to look at Ba's face. The expression is often like that on the face of a meek cow and gives one the feeling, as a cow occasionally does, that in her own dumb manner, she is saying something. He's like, you know, when you walk by a cow and the cow moves at you and you're like, oh, are you trying to say something?
Yeah.
Like, what is that supposed to mean?
In her own dumb way.
It's like, I can't tell what you're saying, but like, in her own dumb manner, she is saying something.
Why don't you ask your wife what she's saying then? If she's got a look on her face like she's trying to communicate something to you.
She's probably scared to.
Like, why don't you just, like, she's a human being. Like, you can just talk to her. She's not a cow.
And like,
she's like, I'm hungry and horny and dying.
How much actual talking did he ever fucking do with his wife, considering he was like gone all the goddamn time, just constantly abandoning, like being around long enough to like get her pregnant and then off again?
I mean,
like, what actual conversations are you
pregnant,
having
which
with her?
Could fucking kill you. Yeah. She was pregnant while she was forced to fast and like forced into poverty and like was in bad conditions and wasn't allowed specific medications. Mm-hmm. Like 1944, she gets pneumonia.
Jesus.
And Gandhi refused to allow her to get penicillin, which he called an alien medicine.
He was like, hell yeah, she might die.
And
oh,
she died
my God.
Because of that.
I mean, like, to me, it sounds like the only time where he cared to talk to her was when she was 14, when they were children. And like, they spent time together as children. And then he got her pregnant and was like, ew, gross now. Don't like you. I'm going to go spend time with more 14-year-olds until I'm 80 years old.
Soon after Ba died, he got malaria. But this time, he was okay with the doctors injecting him with the quinine.
Of course, it's fine for him. His life. Yeah. It's fine for him.
Quinine, it's like a substance from like a specific tree from the bark that
that's what flavors tonic water is, quinine.
I can't tell if it's actually quinine or just because I called it, I said yes, quinine in my homeopathy video. I was like, is it actually called quinine or did I just call it quinine so that I could say quinine?
I don't know how to pronounce it, but I know that's where
quinine.
That's where tonic water gets its flavor. I know how
I'm gonna pronounce it the Kaylin way for the rest of my life. I know that, even if it's wrong.
Yes, quinine. Like a little gin and quinine.
Gandhi believed menstruation was a manifestation of the distortion of a woman's soul by her sexuality.
What does he know? He's just some guy who eats 2 almonds a day and hates cows and adult human women.
Hey, at least I'm not constipated all the time.
Yeah. You can't even shit or walk by yourself.
Right? You're literally so full of shit. Literally. What do you know? If Gandhi was alive today, he would have fucking like quote tweeted support for that kid that was on Twitter, what was that, a couple years ago, being like, women could definitely just like hold in their periods if they wanted to, but they don't, and it's disgusting. Like, he would be like quote tweeting that, like, I agree with this brave young man. Mm-hmm. Also women are demons,
and this is cancel culture.
Gandhi was alive today, I would breathe on him too hardly when he was standing next to a stairwell and just like knock him down the stairs. I'd be like,
just like,
and he'd fall, break all of his brittle bones.
Just be like, oh, I'm sorry.
I think if you blew out some birthday candles around him, he probably would topple.
just like flies off and like smashes into the hutch.
Like a Mary Poppins. Just
like, you know what? Like breakaway glass in a movie when someone gets thrown across a room. Okay, so we are almost done here. As I said earlier, was arguing that women should be responsible for sexual assaults carried out upon them.
Classic.
And for the punishment. Contended that fathers are justified in killing daughters that have been sexually assaulted in order to preserve family honor. Labeled women who used contraceptives as whores. And once chopped off the hair of 2 female followers who were being harassed so that the perpetrators would stop.
Mm-hmm.
He also hated the gays.
Of course he did.
And led campaigns to have all traces of anything homoerotic removed from displays in India's Hindu temples as part of his sexual cleansing initiative.
Okay, so it's the guy who's like trying to develop the perfect fucking twink physique. Like, the call is coming from inside the house.
The call is coming from inside the house, Kami's the new sweaty, pass it on.
Also, nothing quite like the word cleansing. It's never used well,
we're talking about like a salicylic acid kind of like foaming cleanser for your face. Yeah.
I cleanse my skin versus like I cleansed all the Hindu temples of anything related to gayness. There's a little different connotation here. On January 30th, 1948, Gandhi was with his grandnieces in a garden. On his way to address a prayer meeting when a Hindu nationalist fired 3 bullets into his chest from a pistol at close range. And the saint had left our earth, thankfully, for God. Wow,
what a king that killed him. Good for him.
Yeah, I read up on him and then I was like, Kaylin, if you start talking about this man, that is like another 3 pages, just walk away.
I don't hate him. I hate him so much.
I hate him.
Like, he's a disgusting little pervert. He's a vile racist. And he sucks. And I'm glad someone took him out before he got to die peacefully.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so glad that. So there's some contention whether or not he died instantly or died 30 minutes later. But I hope it was 30 minutes later. Yeah.
He died 30 minutes later because somebody was like, call an ambulance. And they're like, just take your time there. Wait, slow down there for a second. There's no need to run.
They're like, what was the number again?
They're just like,
912.
And then they're on the phone with the EMT like, no, you hang up.
What
There is a little bit of blood, but like no rush. Get here when you actually, I'm kind of hungry. I've been with my starving uncle all day. Could you grab some food on the way over?
Oh my God, I would love some chicken nuggets right now. Like I just, that's all I want. A Cornish hen? Do you have a Cornish hen?
He says that he'll die unless you bring a Cornish hen. Gandhi, more like gone dead. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, thank you for telling us all about Gandhi. I had heard that, like, in a general way, that he was sexist and racist, and that's all I knew. Mm-hmm. I had not looked into any of it because I just didn't want to. So I'm glad that you did.
All I knew was racist perv. Yeah. That's all I knew going into it. And then I was like,
I had no idea how weirdly obsessed he was with his own.
I knew about the sleeping with teenage girls. I didn't really know about the racism. I wasn't super surprised about like him being generally racist, but like he was especially racist for the 1930s. And when like you're writing letters to Hitler, like, hey, bestie, like, I mean, that is the bar for like being especially racist.
Oh, yeah. When you're like your literal best friend at the end of your letter.
Your literal best friend.
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Anyways is so cute.
I just imagine like a little heart over like the W or something. Like, oh,
sorry, your sincere friend.
Yeah. Your friend sincere.
Anyway, I anticipate your forgiveness if I have erred in writing to you. I remain your sincere friend.
Oh, you don't play me annoying laughing emoji. Like
the laughing emoji with a little bit of bead of sweat coming off of it. Like,
the one little bead of sweat.
The one I send like, to everybody when I'm asking them to read like a line in my video. Or glad he's dead.
Yeah.
Me too. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Respect the Dead. You can follow Respect the Dead on Instagram and Twitter @_RespectTheDead.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find our socials in the show notes. And you should check out our YouTube channels. We don't shit on dead people there as often, but still, we're making tons of cool stuff.
If you enjoyed Respect the Dead and would like to support us, there's a couple of ways to do that.
You can give us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you found us. Give us at least 5 stars and then share us with a good friend who likes venting about dead people.
You can also give us some money over on our Patreon. Patreon supporters get some cool bonus content like bloopers from the cutting room floor and even coming up with a fake sponsor ad that we'll read in an episode. It has to be a fake business though, not your MLM, honey.
Thanks so much for listening. Join us every Monday for our next Worm Feast.
I'm Kellen Conrad.
I'm Ailey Mandy.
And I'm Hoots. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.